This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Joining us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline on a Wednesday morning, Grant Hall. Always appreciate your time on a Wednesday or any time that we do talk to you, Grant. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You got it. You got it. You all fired up for the regional? Well, the weather didn't look all that good on Friday. Dave's choice to choose the first game of the session on Friday, I think, is the right choice. And I think that would be independent as to whether or not there's rain in the forecast or if there was.
Yeah, I hope they get through it. You know, there have been some obvious serious weather issues around the country and even up here in northwest Arkansas. So hope everybody can dig out and be well, and I hope we get through it this weekend.
Everything okay by where you live?
Yeah, Fayetteville wasn't really hit, as far as I know, that much. More in Rogers, Bentonville area.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the photos from Rogers. I saw photos that Clay sent us from around, I was going to say his neighborhood, but his neighborhood just kind of, you know, the forest. Hopefully weather doesn't impact us this weekend. I guess the next question, I know Dave has a presser tomorrow, all the coaches do. Everybody needs to know or wants to know who's going to be, what day is Hagan Smith pitching? And you look through at least recent history and you have evidence both ways. I think a lot of it depends on two things: how you feel about the rest of your rotation and who the opponent is. So I really wouldn't be surprised if you see Hagan Smith throwing Saturday.
Yeah, you know, that, I have not a ghost of a clue what he'll do, because he's done it both ways, I think, and he does like the early game on Friday. But, you know, this Southeast Missouri State team is very good, and they've beaten some good teams. And, you know, beyond Hagan Smith, I know Molina has retired 15 of his last 16 right now coming into this, but do they want to keep him in the pen? I don't know how he's thinking about that. You know, how much confidence he has in the next guy. They've all had their moments. I mean, you know, this team was number one in the country for a long time, and then now they've lost 7 out of 10. So it's really intriguing to me which team are we going to see this weekend.
Hey, Grant, when we talk about this lineup, who do you have batting one and two? Who would you have batting first and batting second? Because we got to try to get off to a good start hitting the ball. How would you go? How would you set up our first and second hitters?
Well, I would defer to Dave Van Horn, because he's pretty good at this stuff. You know, I think Stovall probably goes in either the one or two hole. And beyond that, I just don't know. I mean, you know, what do you do with Holt, who's been a pretty hot hitter lately? Where do you put him? I do kind of think they'll the front load to the extent that they can and still achieve balance. That's not a very good answer for you, you know. But Stovall has been hitting pretty consistently. I think he'll be up there high.
Stovall, Holt, and Aloy, Grant, those are my three that I really have confidence. Now, I like White. I'm not saying in Sprague Lott. I got a couple other guys I like. But if you're asking me, which you're not, and I'm with you, Grant, I defer to DVH. But those are the three guys that I really see that if those three guys can produce for us, hitting's contagious like anything else, and then everybody else can kind of get the bug.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes that one guy. I mean, Aloy, he didn't have a great SEC tournament, I don't think, Phil, but he certainly is a guy that can get hot and be the one for you. So, you know, Hudson White's been, I think Hudson White might have led this team in batting average in the SEC play. Is that right? So there's another guy.
I think he did, yeah. It's kind of funny. I've got my stats printed out for the other three teams in the regional, but I don't have my Razorback stats printed out. But, you know, look, I mean, we look at some of the websites that dig into these matchups with basically just a lot of formulas, a lot of mathematics, a lot of equations. And they're saying that this regional is the third easiest regional for a number one seed, which I don't know. I don't see one of those cute Northeastern teams like a Central Connecticut State or like a New Jersey Institute of Technology. Those are the teams that you pitch off against, the cute Northeastern teams. Southeast Missouri is not a cute Northeastern team. Like these are guys from California in a lot of cases, or from Missouri. They're baseball players, and it's not to take away from the teams that I refer to as cute Northeastern. But I'm sorry, when Connecticut and basically like a central, not even a direction, is attached to it, I mean, you're going to be taken a little bit lighter. I don't see a team that you take lightly here at all.
Yeah, and I even think the next round, I mean, Virginia, you know, I mean, I think that it's favorable to Arkansas if they can play the way they did most of the season. I'm glad Texas isn't involved. We're going to see enough of them in the next 100 years, you know. So, but I mean, then last year, probably a lot of people didn't think that TCU would do what it did. So, that's why it's intriguing, and I think Arkansas will be okay. They should be well rested, you know. They only played a couple of games lately, and I think we'll see a pretty good Arkansas team.
So you mentioned about, you know, a rival in Texas coming in at the SEC meetings yesterday. Steve Sarkisian was asked about playing against A&M and their rivalry with A&M, and he added Arkansas himself. He wasn't asked about the Razorbacks. He added Arkansas as rivalry for his Texas Longhorns, which I thought was, look, I mean, that's understood here at Arkansas that's a rival that you're playing over across there now. And I just, I liked hearing that even from the opposing coach, because everybody asked him about it.
And a friend of mine told me this week, Phil, that he thinks Texas A&M is going to end up in the Big Ten eventually. And I don't know that they necessarily appreciated Texas. You know, they were supposed to be together, and then they weren't, and now they've been apart. And, I mean, that would be a cataclysmic development, I guess. Who knows if it'll happen. But I don't know how wild A&M is about being with Texas again. I mean, yeah, I'm sure a lot of them love it, and then maybe a lot of them are resentful of Texas.
Well, I think that's why A&M left the Big 12 to begin with, was that it felt like a league that was more kowtowing to Texas than anything else. And, you know,
right.
I understand that they'd like to be the only, you know, major school in whatever league that they're in, but I'm not exactly sure if that's a world that we're ready to live in now. But, you know, I guess the Big Ten might be interested in it too. It sounds like the ACC may eventually split up. You know, I mean, we're slowly but surely working our way towards a power two, Grant.
Well, the media vibe will be interesting in Dallas this year too, because you know, Texas always likes to run any league it's in. I mean, it'd be fascinating to see the interactions there and their attitude. Maybe it's gotten a little bit less arrogant through the years. We'll see.
Hey, Grant, can you? I'd read a little bit about Grayson Murray, the unfortunate, I think he was 30-year-old professional golfer who took his life, I think it was, Saturday last week after withdrawing from a PGA event. Just, you know, reading from a lot of people that were friends of his or from his parents. It sounds heartbreaking, but also somebody that had been battling against depression for a long time.
Yeah, here's a guy that qualified for the U.S. Open at age 19. He won three junior world events coming up. And so In fact, I read that Jerry Haas, who coached him for just 6 months at Wake Forest, which was one of the three schools Grayson Murray matriculated, I guess, in college. But Jerry Haas said he's the most talented player he ever had. And that includes Bill Haas and Zalatoris and
Webb Simpson.
Camp. Yeah, I mean, that's some great players. So sometimes that burden of being what other people expect you to be, I just, when you texted me today, Phil, Michael Bamberger, a golf writer friend of mine, had written something about it. And it's interesting, in the same week, you know, Lexi Thompson, that we've seen play many times up here in Rogers, has announced her retirement effective at the end of this year, and she's just 29 years old. And I can remember the LPGA had her doing media stuff when she was 15 and 16 years old here. You know, she was that good and that talented, that much of a drawing card. And she's won one major and I think 15 tournaments. But when they asked her about, I'm not sure how Grayson Murray came up, but I know she cried during her press conference yesterday. The weight of expectation can be really tough. And I hope Lexi, you know, keeps playing golf and plays in some selected events each year and can kind of come through her health battles.
Grant, appreciate. Go ahead, Matt. You got something else?
I didn't know if you wanted to touch on any of this NBA. The Timberwolves just finally got one, Grant. Lively being out kind of hurt Dallas, I thought.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, Matt, someone sent me this, that there have been 145 times when an NBA team was down 0-3 in a playoff series, and they lost them all, but four times they got back to 3-3.
Uh-oh.
So that's what Minnesota's bucking. And, of course, they got a home game next. And if they could win it, then you put a little bit of pressure on them because, you know, Dallas doesn't want to go back to Minnesota again for Game 7. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But Edwards at least finally did play last. Mm-hmm. You know, Minnesota's led every one of these games with 5 minutes to go, or in the final 5 minutes. So
they've led over 60% of the time, like almost 70%. Yeah.
Hey, Phil, and one quick one for you. Grant Cook called up from Indianapolis. Maybe you already mentioned it today.
I saw that, yeah. And a lot of Pirates fans were kind of surprised by it because Henry Davis has been hitting really well. Remember, he was the first overall pick of the draft out of Louisville, catcher. As the start of the season in the big leagues, he was not hitting at all, sent down to AAA. He's been hitting there, but they called Grant up instead. I think they want Davis to work on his approach a little bit more. They view him as the future, I think, of that position. I'm not sure if they view Grant the same way, but that's getting called up to the big leagues, man. Hopefully he does something that makes him stick for a while.
UA 16 through 18, I think, and Elena Uriel and Gabby Lopez playing in the U.S. Women's Open beginning tomorrow. And quickly, your favorite, Angel Hernandez, retiring after 33 years of missing calls in the major leagues.
Now, come on, that was a firing, wasn't it? Don't you think that was a firing? Somebody was nice to him, be like, you know what, you've been doing this long enough, we're not going to embarrass you with the word fired, but you get to retire mid-season.
You're relieved of your duties.
Yes.
Nice pension for him.
Yes, that's exactly right. Which door do you want me to go out, right? Isn't that what Coach O said? Grant, we'll leave it there. Thanks, man. We'll see you at home this weekend.
See you.
Thank you, Grant.
Grant Hall with us every Wednesday morning on Halftime. Yeah, that's what that was. That was, you know what? You're really not very good at this. Not sure if you ever were, but right now you're really bad. We're going to let you retire. Go ahead and retire, right? No, you don't want to? Okay, we'll just call it a firing then.
Surely they have to, I don't know that their vision has to be 2020, but surely there's eye tests that are involved in this, and I don't think he'd been showing up for those the last couple of years.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hickey & Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit KevinHickeyLaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at GoPascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Joining us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline on a Wednesday morning, Grant Hall. Always appreciate your time on a Wednesday or any time that we do talk to you, Grant. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You got it. You got it. You all fired up for the regional? Well, the weather didn't look all that good on Friday. Dave's choice to choose the first game of the session on Friday, I think, is the right choice. And I think that would be independent as to whether or not there's rain in the forecast or if there was.
Yeah, I hope they get through it. You know, there have been some obvious serious weather issues around the country and even up here in Northwest Arkansas. So hope everybody can dig out and be well, and I hope we get through it this weekend.
Everything okay by where you live?
Yeah, Fayetteville wasn't really hit, as far as I know, that much. More in Rogers, Bentonville area.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the photos from Rogers. I saw photos that Clay sent us from around, I was going to say his neighborhood, but his neighborhood's just kind of, you know, the forest. Well, hopefully weather doesn't impact us this weekend. I guess the next question, I know Dave has a presser tomorrow, all the coaches do. Everybody needs to know or wants to know who's going to be, what day is Hagen Smith pitching? And you know, you look through at least recent history and you have evidence both ways. I think a lot of it depends on two things: how you feel about the rest of your rotation and who the opponent is. So I really wouldn't be surprised if you see Hagen Smith throwing Saturday.
Yeah, you know, that, I have not a ghost of a clue what he'll do, because he's done it both ways, I think. And he does like the early game on Friday. But, you know, this Southeast Missouri State team is very good, and they've beaten some good teams. And, you know, beyond Hagen Smith, you kind of, now I know Molina has retired 15 of his last 16 right now coming into this, but do they want to keep him in the pen? I don't know how he's thinking about that. You know, how much confidence he has in the next guy. They've all had their moments. I mean, you know, this team was number one in the country for a long time, and then now they've lost 7 out of 10. So it's really intriguing to me, which team are we going to see this weekend?
Hey, Grant, when we talk about this lineup, who do you have batting one and two? Who would you have batting first and batting second? Because we got to try to get off to a good start hitting the ball. How would you go? How would you set up our first and second hitters?
Well, I would defer to Dave Van Horn, because he's pretty good at this stuff. You know, I think Stovall probably goes in either the one or two hole. And beyond that, I just don't know. I mean, you know, what do you do with Holt, who's been a pretty hot hitter lately? Where do you put him? I do kind of think they'll the front load to the extent that they can and still achieve balance. That's not a very good answer for you, you know. But Stovall has been hitting pretty consistently. I think he'll be up there high.
Stovall, Holt, and Aloy, Grant, those are my three that I really have confidence. Now, I like White. I'm not saying in Sprague Lott. I got a couple other guys I like. But if you're asking me, which you're not, and I'm with you, Grant, I deferred to DVH. But those are the three guys that I really see, that if those three guys can produce for us, hitting's contagious like anything else, and then everybody else can kind of get the bug.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes that one guy. I mean, Aloy, he didn't have a great SEC tournament, I don't think, Phil, but he certainly is a guy that can get hot and be the one for you. So, you know, Hudson White's been, I think Hudson White might have led this team in batting average in the SEC play. Is that right? So there's another guy.
I think he did, yeah. It's kind of funny. I've got my stats printed out for the other three teams in the regional, but I don't have my Razorback stats printed out. But, you know, look, I mean, we look at some of the websites that dig into these matchups with basically just a lot of formulas, a lot of mathematics, a lot of equations. And they're saying that this regional is like the third easiest regional for a number one seed, which I don't know. I don't see one of those cute Northeastern teams like a Central Connecticut State or like a New Jersey Institute of Technology. Those are the teams that you pitch off against, the cute Northeastern teams. Southeast Missouri is not a cute Northeastern team. Like these are guys from California in a lot of cases, or from Missouri. They're baseball players, and it's not to take away from the teams that I refer to as cute Northeastern. But I'm sorry, when Connecticut and basically like a Central, not even a direction, is attached to it, I mean, you're going to be taken a little bit lighter. I don't see a team that you take lightly here at all.
Yeah, and I even think the next round, I mean, Virginia, you know, I mean, I think that it's favorable to Arkansas if they can play the way they did most of the season. I'm glad Texas isn't involved. We're going to see enough of them in the next 100 years, you know. But, I mean, then last year, probably a lot of people didn't think that TCU would do what it did. That's why it's intriguing, and I think Arkansas will be okay. They should be well rested, you know. They've only played a couple of games lately, and I think we'll see a pretty good Arkansas team.
So you mentioned about, you know, a rival in Texas coming in at the SEC meetings yesterday. Steve Sarkisian was asked about playing against A&M and their rivalry with A&M. And he added Arkansas himself. He wasn't asked about the Razorbacks. He added Arkansas as rivalry for his Texas Longhorns, which I thought was, look, I mean, that's understood here at Arkansas that's a rival that you're playing over across there now. And I just, I liked hearing that even from the opposing coach, because nobody asked him about it.
And a friend of mine told me this week, Phil, that he thinks Texas A&M is going to end up in the Big Ten eventually. And I don't know that they necessarily appreciated Texas. You know, they were supposed to be together, and then they weren't, and now they've been apart. And, I mean, that would be a cataclysmic development, I guess. Who knows if it'll happen. But I don't know how wild A&M is about being with Texas again. I mean, yeah, I'm sure a lot of them love it, and then maybe a lot of them are resentful of Texas.
Well, I think that's why A&M left the Big 12 to begin with, was that it felt like a league that was more kowtowing to Texas than anything else. And, you know,
right.
I understand that they'd like to be the only, you know, major school in whatever league that they're in, but I'm not exactly sure if that's a world that we're ready to live in now. But, you know, I guess the Big 10 might be interested in it too. Sounds like the ACC may eventually split up. You know, I mean, we're slowly but surely working our way towards a power two, Grant.
Well, the media vibe will be interesting in Dallas this year too, because you know, Texas always likes to run any league it's in. It'd be fascinating to see the interactions there and their attitude. Maybe it's gotten a little bit less arrogant through the years. We'll see.
Hey, Grant, can you? I'd read a little bit about Grayson Murray, the unfortunate, I think he was 30-year-old professional golfer who took his life, I think it was, what, Saturday last week after withdrawing from a PGA event. Just, you know, reading from a lot of people that were friends of his or from his parents. It sounds heartbreaking, but also somebody that had been battling against depression for a long time.
Yeah, here's a guy that qualified for the U.S. Open at age 19. He won three junior world events coming up. And so, in fact, I read that Jerry Haas, who coached him for just 6 months at Wake Forest, which was one of the three schools Grayson Murray matriculated, I guess, in college. But Jerry Haas said he's the most talented player he ever had. And that includes Bill Haas and Zalatoris and
Webb Simpson.
Camp. Yeah, I mean, that's some great players. So sometimes that burden of being what other people expect you to be, I just, when you texted me today, Phil, Michael Bamberger, a golf writer friend of mine, had written something about it. And it's interesting, in the same week, you know, Lexi Thompson, that we've seen play many times up here in Rogers has announced her retirement effective at the end of this year, and she's just 29 years old. And I can remember the LPGA had her doing media stuff when she was 15 and 16 years old here. You know, she was that good and that talented, that much of a drawing card. And she's won one major and I think 15 tournaments. But when they asked her about, I think about, I'm not sure how Grayson Murray came up, but I know she cried during her press conference yesterday. You know, the weight of expectation can be really tough. And I hope Lexi, you know, keeps playing golf and plays in some selected events each year and can kind of come through her health battles.
Grant, appreciate. Go ahead, Matt. You got something else?
I didn't know if you wanted to touch on any of this NBA. The Timberwolves just finally got one, Grant. Lively being out kind of hurt Dallas, I thought.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, Matt, someone sent me this, that there have been 145 times when an NBA team was down 0-3 in a playoff series, and they lost them all, but four times they got back to 3-3. Uh-oh. So that's what Minnesota's bucking. And, of course, they got a home game next. And if they could win it, then you put a little bit of pressure on them because, you know, Dallas doesn't want to go back to Minnesota again for Game 7. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But Edwards at least finally did play last night. Mm-hmm. You know, Minnesota's led every one of these games with 5 minutes to go or in the final 5 minutes.
So they've led over 60% of the time, like almost 70%. Yeah.
Hey, Phil, and one quick one for you. Grant Cook called up from Indianapolis. Maybe you've already mentioned it today.
I saw that, yeah. And a lot of Pirates fans were kind of surprised by it because Henry Davis has been hitting really well. Remember, he was the first overall pick of the draft out of Louisville, catcher. As the start of the season in the big leagues, was not hitting at all, sent down to AAA. He's been hitting there, but they called Grant up instead. I think they want Davis to work on his approach a little bit more. They view him as the future, I think, of that position. I'm not sure if they view Grant the same way, but that's getting called up to the big leagues, man. Hopefully he has something that makes him stick for a while.
UA 16 through 18, I think, and Elena Uriel and Gabby Lopez playing in the U.S. Women's Open beginning tomorrow. And quickly, your favorite, Angel Hernandez, retiring after 33 years of missing calls in the major leagues.
Now, come on, that was a firing, wasn't it? Don't you think that was a firing? Somebody was nice to him, be like, you know what, you've been doing this long enough, we're not going to embarrass you with the word fired, but you get to retire mid-season.
You're relieved of your duties.
Yes.
Nice pension for him.
Yes, that's exactly right. Which door do you want me to go out, right? Isn't that what Coach O said?
Right.
Grant, we'll leave it there. Thanks, man. We'll see you at home this weekend.
See you.
Thank you, Grant.
Grant Hall with us every Wednesday morning on Halftime. Yeah, that's what that was. That was, you know what? You're really not very good at this. Not sure if you ever were, but right now you're really bad. We're going to let you retire. Go ahead and retire, right? No, you don't want to? Okay, we'll just call it a firing then.
Surely they have to, I don't know, their vision has to be 2020, but surely there's eye tests that are involved in this, and I don't think he'd been showing up for those the last couple.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Years.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
All right, here's what Cal said, Matt. Update on the roster. Says we're at 8 right now, looking for one more guy, and that's what we're going to have. So they're looking at a roster of 9 one more guy. Could that guy be Trevin Brazil?
I wonder what his value is, Phil. We've talked about some of the ladybacks taking off and headed interconference and what their value is. I wonder what the market is for Brazil. You'd have to think it's a pretty healthy market for him, if he's healthy.
That's the part of it. He went through the combine, the draft combine, and I think his results were pretty good. I mean, I saw mock drafts that had him selected, I think, in the 40s. So he must have gotten a clean bill of health as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching, you see Lively, he's a rookie. You know, you think that's the type of guy that he would be guarding. You know, Michael Porter, is he Aaron Gordon? Is he Michael Porter Jr. for the Denver Nuggets? What is his role going to be at that next level? I think it's a combination of both of those roles. But laterally, he doesn't move well enough yet. And these are things he can work on. You know, got to get in the weight room, got to stay healthy. All these things, but he can do a couple things good already, and he can continue to grow in those areas. He's got a nice shot. He needs to, you know, be a student of the game, learn the game a little bit. I think the sky's the limit for Trevion Brazil. I just wonder what his value for $500,000. Do you take a chance on him?
It's just, you know, where do the minutes come in from? I guess, I mean, you find minutes for somebody that has that kind of shot making ability from the outside, that kind of athleticism, that kind of size. But you got a 6'11 center in Jonas Adu. You got a 7'2. I'm not sure what position you'd say Ivicic is playing, but they got him listed as a center. And he's a guy who's supposed to be able to shoot from the outside as well. You know, is there room for a third, essentially? I mean, he's not quite a 7-footer, but he's close to it. Doesn't necessarily play like that around the rim or rebound the way that you need to at that size. But I just kind of wonder if there's, if you already have your two 7-footers, is there such a thing as too many? There might be.
It'd make some battles in practice. You would get better. If you want competition and that's your end goal, is to improve your game and get better and get ready for the show. I mean, I know they call the MLB the show, but I mean, to get ready to go prime time and play, you see how talented these guys are in playoff basketball. I mean, you see how they make Carl Anthony Towns. He's an A player, Phil, and they make him look like a C, but he disappears sometimes. I know he showed out last game, but you see the type of talent that you have to get your game to if it went to make plays.
So, Fland and Davis and Wagner coming in as guards, Knox, Richmond, and Thierro as forwards, and then there's Adu and Ivicic as centers. So there's your eight, looking at a ninth, according to John Calipari, and then that'll be it. I guess after that, I'm not sure if just kind of throw in what you would view as roster filler or if there's walk-ons. I know Lawson Blake, I think, is still part of the team. So are you going to even get up to maybe like a 13 players on the roster if they're just going to have a rotation of nine or just have a roster of nine? Because right now it looks like he's talking about a roster of 9 or 10.
Yeah, you got to have – we talk about this sometimes too of being a war of attrition, but we've seen it plethora of athletes under Coach Musselman. Seemed every year so you were having a starter or somebody you were relying on would go out. So it just kind of the nature of the game. So, yeah, the more talent, the more collection of talent you can have should help you out. Now, your role's going to be different. You know, it's a new coach. Just because you have the same jersey on, if he was to speak, you don't know. You know, nothing's given. You know, playing time's earned.
There's something else that Cal brought up, and again, this is at Sandestin at the SEC media – at the SEC meetings, and I guess this is just sort of like a media scrum. I don't know if they call it a press conference necessarily. But, you know, I've been wondering about when you start finding out what the schedule looks like, because what was it? Alabama yesterday announced a home-and-home with Purdue. And South Carolina today said they're heading to Indiana to play the Hoosiers at Assembly Hall. And we still don't know. I don't think we know anything of what the non-conference schedule looks like for Arkansas. You just know who your conference opponents are. We know they pulled out of the Invitational. They were scheduled to play in San Diego, but that's all we know. We just know about, you know, just, I guess, subtraction off the schedule. Cal says, finalizing a home-and-home series right now,
and that Arkansas will play in Little Rock, Dallas, and Madison Square Garden this year.
The Mecca.
The opponents are TBA. So, I mean, playing in Little Rock is no surprise. They've been playing in Little Rock, I guess, just like, what, every year for the last 20 years. So that's not a surprise. Playing in Dallas, playing in New York, playing at Madison Square Garden, that's the kind of, to me, that seems like the kind of national scheduling that Cal was talking about, especially if you're playing at MSG.
Yeah, it's all there. Man, I'd love a little home and home with Memphis. You know, he took Memphis to the national championship game, and that team, I really, if they had hit a couple more free throws, Derrick Rose, oh my goodness, man, how good was he that year?
Well, now, so who do you think you play in Dallas? If I think of who do you play in New York, you could play anybody in New York. Like that's where you're bringing in some of the big name schools. That's where your logo schools will play, which that makes Arkansas one of them now.
Georgetown, Villanova, Syracuse.
Well, what about like a Kentucky, not a Kentucky, like a Kansas or a Duke or a North Carolina, something like that.
Are we still doing, do we know who our crosstown is in the ACC challenge for this next year? Are we going to Duke? Is that what where Arkansas is going?
I don't think that's been announced either.
Okay.
No.
I thought
I'd forgotten about that series, yeah.
Because did we have North Carolina last year? Is that who we had? Who'd we get in
there? Duke.
It was Duke.
Duke came into Bud Walton.
So I didn't know.
It was one of the two wins we kept pointing out at. The one win which didn't count Purdue, and then the one against Duke.
We got beat by North Carolina in the Bahamas. That's where that was, yeah.
Take a phone call from Cabbage Head, who's on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Good afternoon, Cabbage Head. How are you?
Oh, real good. You know, how are you? It sounds like you guys are right where you need to be answering hard questions for your listening staff.
Yes, solving the Razorbacks issues one at a time. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, I'm going to put – I've got a question for you, and you guys know more about this baseball deal than I do because I only get involved with the Razorbacks when they come to tournament time, and hopefully they do good. But guys, they're not winning those last two games. It seems like they just didn't care if they won them or not. You may correct me, but they didn't have to have it to get to the Omaha. You know, they didn't really have to have those two wins. So why do they play them? Why don't they just forward and just skip what they? Well, they didn't play very good ball. The reason they lost those last two games, I know that was for the SEC tournament, but it's like I guess it's they won so many games in the regular season that puts them in the driver's seat. Is that correct?
That's pretty much what that was about. That's exactly right. They had nothing to play for. There was nothing to lose. There was nothing to gain in Hoover. And I mean, truthfully, that's kind of how they played. I felt they played all year long like there was something to gain, that there was something to play for outside of just trying to beat who's on the field against you. But in Hoover,
right.
it didn't quite feel like that.
No, that's true. I hope they do well like we all do. But I guess for anything, those last two games were maybe warm-ups and practice your guys.
Truly, Cabbage Head, I don't think Hoover has anything to do with this next weekend at all. I mean, look back at this and say, yeah, they played like there wasn't anything to play for. They played a little bit disinterested. I'm really not worried about that this weekend. Because if you don't think there's something to play for this weekend, why are you even here? Hoover's a whole different situation. I'm really not worried about last week.
Well, I guess I shouldn't be either because, like I say, you guys are the pros and you know more about it than I do. And maybe I can help you out with some music stuff or something. Who knows? But I thank you guys for having such a good show and taking my call. Much obliged.
Cabbage Head, it's good to hear from you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, look, will they lose a regional? Maybe. I mean, who knows? The crazy things have happened. They lost a regional last year. I don't think Hoover had much to do with that. And I don't think that Hoover has anything to do with what's going to happen Friday or Saturday or Sunday or the week after that or anything like that. Wes wants to know, when will Dave Van Horn announce the Friday starter? He's got a presser tomorrow. I'm assuming that's the first question asked. So the only thing I can tell you, Wes, is My guess is that that answer comes tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
All guests join halftime on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. We usually talk with Mike Irwin from Pink Trail Nation Mondays, but that was a Memorial Day. We were off the air. We got Mike right now. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing really good. How are you?
Doing okay, man. It's just kind of kicking around the whole regional thing this weekend with Arkansas hosting again. We just kind of get used to it. You give this year's team a better chance to advance through a regional than last year when they were defeated by TCU?
Yeah, I think a lot of fans kind of breathed a collective sigh of relief when they saw that field. It's not that they, you know, disrespect Louisiana Tech, but they don't look like a TCU, which, you know, that team had they didn't win the College World Series, but they had that kind of talent. And I think we saw it very quickly. You know, I look at this thing, you got an Arkansas team that's there on pitching. You got at least the two teams that you think they're going to play 1-2 or more hitting teams. And they are. They're both really good. I don't think you could just overlook SEMO because, as Dave Van Horn said, it's an older team, juniors and seniors. They have a winning record on the road. They've hit 98 home runs. That's concerning because Arkansas's pitching, as we've gotten toward the end of the season, has had a tendency to give up home runs. And so it becomes an issue of, if you're going to give up one or two in this game, you better make sure you don't walk somebody or hit somebody before it happens. So, I guess DBH has got a tough decision. People are saying, well, there's no way you use Hagan Smith in game one. Okay, fine, but who do you go put up against SEMO and their home run hitters? I'm not sure. Guess we'll find out. But I do think Arkansas will advance from this regional. I think they're going to hit better than people think. They really didn't look that bad at the plate in Hoover. I think Hoover was a matter of DVH altered his pitching, the normal pitching rotation and things he would use. I think he altered that to protect his pitchers for this regional, save arms. And I think that's what really got them, not the lack of hitting. I thought they hit the ball fine. So, and I think they'll hit a little better. He said they will, and he says they have an attitude about, you know, what everybody's been saying about them. So I'd like to see them come out with an attitude.
Yeah, I'd like to see the same thing. And hopefully that means some, you know, we talk so much about pitching here with this team, but you know, they're gonna have to get out and score. I mean, they're gonna allow some runs. These are three teams coming in here that can all hit, and I think Southeast Missouri and La Tech are probably the two best hitting teams in this regional outside of Arkansas. But do you also think that do you feel like stepping out of the SEC? Just look at the teams that Arkansas has struggled against in the last month. Two of them are national seeds. And you know, another one in South Carolina that in Hoover was playing really well and just couldn't get out of the way of Cole Messina. So, I mean, they're not playing teams like that this weekend. So it's at least in terms of talent level and even, you know, ability to those opponents' ability to win, it is a step down this weekend, the teams you're facing.
Yeah. And that may be part of the answer here when everybody talks about Arkansas going two and out in the tournament and making it to Omaha a couple of times recently. And I don't think it's just Arkansas. I think you go through that SEC tournament and it's a murderer's row of talent. And then when you get out into a regional, I think it does drop off a little bit. can. That doesn't mean it automatically will. We saw that last year. But, you know, I've never understood the committee. We've talked about this before. To me, if you seed this the way seeding goes, the one seed should have the easiest regional going all the way down to the eight. And I was looking at some of the way they were ranking this stuff, and Arkansas, I guess, supposedly has the fourth easiest regional. That would be close to what you'd do if you were a five, but it just looks better than last year, and I think they will hit the ball. I don't know about Diggs. I mean, you just keep looking for him to. I think he had maybe one RBI. I'm not sure. I know he got a base hit with runners on in that first game. So, yeah, I just wish they could get him going. They've got four or five guys that can hit. They've got some home run hitters. They hit some home runs there. I just think they'll hit better at home. I think that they'll have more confidence, and I think this is going to be a fun weekend. I could be wrong, but I think their pitching is good enough, along with their hitting, that this is not going to be like last year.
So the SEC meetings are happening right now in Sandestin, and John Calipari spoke just a few moments ago and told reporters that he's looking for one more player. Now that DJ Wagner is committed to Arkansas, you got eight players. He's looking for one more. This would be a two-parter. Do you think that one player could be Trevin Brazil in Cal's eyes? If not, what do you think they need to complete the roster?
You know, I'm not one of these recruiting guys. I read a lot. You know, what Kevin McPherson, some of these other people say, and then Courtney, you know, our staff, her dad's a college basketball coach, and she's always up on this stuff. I don't think Brazil is the guy. I think right now they may be looking at I don't know if he's going to Europe or not. If somebody was telling me that he was going to Europe, well, he's got stuff to do here too, but I think there's a 6'9", a forward type with guard skills that I was reading about that looked pretty intriguing. There was another guy that was 6'10" that if he didn't go to the NBA, if he didn't feel like his draft status would be good enough, he might do that. I mean, I haven't checked to see who withdrew from the draft or whatever, but I don't think it's Brazil. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is.
They also said they're going to play in Dallas, going to play in Madison Square Garden, and play in Little Rock. Now, Little Rock, you just expect it. Dallas, that's new. Madison Square Garden, that doesn't just sound new. That sounds big. We don't know who the opponents are, but you get a chance to play in the Mecca. I mean, you got to jump at that opportunity, right?
Well, yeah, it reflects where I think he plans to recruit. That's what it says to me. I plan to recruit up there, and we know he likes the Dallas area, so, you know, I think he's already in his new place, and he's trying to figure out, okay, where do I recruit? I think he's going to recruit. Look, Arkansas turns out good college basketball talent. We know that. But you may see him pursue that less than other coaches have. And I don't mean that he's going to overlook Arkansas kids, but I think he is going to expand outward. And that will be fine with the fans as long as you win.
Yeah. I mean, that does go along with it. If you're going to schedule nationally and recruit nationally, they'll be fine with it as long as you win games. Football coaches also speaking at the meetings, almost in unison. Want to make sure that they are saying the right things to keep walk-ons as a part of college football. Now, it's just the SEC coaches. I'm assuming that Big Ten coaches feel the exact same way because they want their numbers. I mean, I counted 124 football players last year for Arkansas. Currently, there are 99 players on the roster, and that even feels low. You do away with walk-ons. Man, I mean, you may end up talking about a roster that's got, what, 80-some players? Is that enough in college football?
Well, I don't think Pittman would be happy with that, and I don't think he likes he's one of these believers in your walk-on system, and I know a lot of Arkansas coaches have been. This is a part of this, what people say is an impending, it hasn't been signed yet, but an agreement with the courts over some lawsuits against the NCAA that would compensate players, past players, back to 2016, and then allegedly would lead to a situation where you, the school itself, could pay players. In other words, this wouldn't be coming from your NIL, which right now operates outside the school. You could actually pay them as a part of your athletic department budget up to, I think it was $20 million. There would be a cap on that. The stuff I read was very confusing. It didn't eliminate NIL. So if you're going to have a, if you're going to have, first of all, a $20 million cap to play your, and that's for all athletes. So how do you distribute that? It wasn't made clear, but there was a lot of talk about maybe some of these Olympic sports being eliminated. That's terrifying if you're a college tennis player, you know, volleyball player, any of that. You're going, what's going on here? Who's going to fund this? What, are they going to take this away from us? And then again, if you have a, if you go from having a scholarship limit to kind of a, just an overall cap on the number of people that can be in your program, yes, that could eliminate walk-ons. So it's not clear where we're headed with this. I still say, guys, if you don't create a, if you come out of this with a system where the teams with the most money can buy the best talent, you've ruined college football. You will ruin it because only those teams that have the money that are buying the best players, yeah, their fans will be all into it. Everybody else will lose interest, and they'll probably form their own little league that, hey, we don't do that. I'm not against players getting money. I'm against buying players and being able to bid for them, which is what's going on right now. I mean, the basketball team's doing that right now. They're bidding for the best players. But I don't think that's a long-term situation most fans want. They want you to come to their school because you like their school, they like their coaches, you like the environment on campus, you're loyal to that school, you don't just come in for 1 year and because you were bought and then leave. I mean, think about the tradition of all these athletes that have come through here and then they go off and they live their lives, but they're still Razorbacks. You know, a guy like D-Mac comes back and he's still a part of what you do. Well, that could go away with this system. I don't like what I'm hearing right now.
You know, I also kind of wonder, it's like, so if you're paying players and it's, you know, it's over the table, it's on the up and up, and it's a line item that's in the athletic department's budget and all of that, what's to say that there still isn't other enticements that are done illegally, you know, through whatever rules that are drawn up about salary caps or, you know, spending limits on athletes per sport? What's to say that still there's not things that are happening behind the scenes that aren't, that, I mean, look at what college sports has been like all these years leading up to this point. Even though they haven't been paid by the schools, we still know the wink, wink, nudge, nudge and everything. There's still going to be a system of haves and have-nots, and it won't necessarily be those who can legally spend the most money on players. It'll also be an illegal aspect of it.
Yes, but up until recently, you still had the NCAA's ability to force its rules against rules breakers. Now, a lot of people said certain teams got away with it, but look, they nailed Alabama bad about 20 years ago. Tennessee's gotten nailed. If you cheat in the past, if you've cheated often enough and got caught, you're going to get nailed. Right now, there are no rules. So whatever system they come up with, yes, you're going to still have cheaters. But the NCAA, or whatever organization that ends up running all of this, has to have you have to have rules, and you have to have the ability to enforce those rules. And what they're trying to do now is close all these gaps where they're not going to get sued every time they turn around. I think there's a feeling that if you show the courts, show the legal system in this country, hey, we're doing the right thing by these athletes, then some joker that jumps up and files a lawsuit against you is not going to win because the courts are going to have the attitude, okay, they've gone the extra mile. They're trying to do the right thing with all these people. We can't sit around and punish them forever. There's got to be rules.
you know, and to close this off here, so I think of what happened in professional baseball when, you know, trying to do right by the athletes, minor league baseball players were taken advantage of for decades, and it's only been, what, the last 4 years or so that they're paid, I think, what you could classify as living wage for something that you do for 5 months a year. But what that did is the owners cut the draft in half. There are fewer minor league teams. There are fewer jobs. We've seen the same thing happen in the fast food industry where, you know, you're making a better minimum wage, but there's also just fewer people working at these restaurants as well. So if we're doing this in college sports, even if we're creating a line item, and even if there are more revenues coming in because of television and everything, I mean, so what that tells me is there's probably going to be fewer athletes, just from what I've seen in other sports.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And in addition to that, what people are looking at, certainly from the standpoint of the athletes themselves and what they're going to get out of it, who pays for all this? The fans. And if they're not happy, what happens then? What happens if revenue drops off? You've got all these networks that are saying, oh, they're salivating over the idea that we could get all these great teams. And, you know, I think that's one thing you're going to see is fewer teams on TV. Now, they may be kicked off into streaming services. But I think you're going to see ABC, you're going to see Fox, you're going to see NBC, you're going to see some of these CBS, you're going to see them put fewer teams, be more selective about who gets on a national telecast, because they got to make money off this. ESPN is losing money right now. I'm scared to death that something's going to happen to ESPN3, because I think that's one of the best things I've ever seen. I love having ESPN3 and be able to watch what I want. You know, all through football season, you're going to see games. Teams of your opponents have played games. If you're playing a mid-major, you can watch them and go back and look and see what they've done. Baseball, I watched not just Arkansas this year, I watched their opponents. If that goes away, then it's not good. So all of this is driven by money, and it's how the fans are going to react to this, and I don't think anybody knows yet. I'm just not sure how they're going to feel about the fact that we have now created or will have created a college athletic system that is really professional sports, when before they didn't have that, and they liked it. They liked the idea that you're coming and playing for a school so you can get a college education, and you like that school, and then you go on and do whatever, but you're an alum, and you come back, and everybody slaps you on the back. Yeah, I remember when you played, and it was all one big family. And that part of it just seems to be going away.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about that, and it's changing right in front of our eyes. Mike, we got to run. Leave it there. See you at Palm this weekend. Thank you.
All right.
Mike Irwin, Pig Trail Nation, with us here on Halftime.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.